I'm Neil. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is going to be dedicated to callers. Here's how it's going to work. I'll take callers in the order they appear on the screen, and I'll try to give everyone a chance to speak. After you ask a question or make a statement, I'll mute you, and then I'll reply. Stay on the line. Depending on what was being discussed, I'll probably allow you to continue. I do it this way so that people are not talking over one another. This is not going to be the Jerry Springer show. First caller is Delaware. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena.
Thank you for the invitation to your radio show. My name is Commander McBride of the National Socialist Freedom Movement. I believe I had received an email from you sometime yesterday or the day before. I'm not 100% which day it was, in regards to some threats that you had received on one of your shows, radio show number 206. I downloaded the segment, listened to the last 5 minutes of it. I listened to it about three times, and I shared it with a few of my colleagues. And, you know, like I said, I don't know if you've received my emails that I've sent you, you know, thus far. But we have no idea who this guy was. The voice doesn't sound familiar. We ourselves have been trying to figure it out because on our website clearly states that we are a law-abiding organization that functions within the boundaries of the law, and any kind of criminal acts whatsoever will not be tolerated and are grounds for immediate dismissal.
Yes, I received your email, and I replied to it. But apparently you didn't receive the reply, so I'll read you the reply that I sent you. I deleted everything and basically responded to just one thing that you said. You said, "I will be respectful and I hope you can do the same thing in turn." To which I replied, "You've got to be kidding, right? I expect you to bring everything you've got, including as many friends as you want. Here is what is acceptable. Insults, cussing, threats. In other words, you will have total freedom of speech." Did I report Lone Wolf? No, I did not. You can keep this email as proof that I granted permission for all three of the activities above. And that applies to anyone who enters the arena. So come on in and have a good time. But as my site warns, do not come in unarmed. So, Delaware, you can continue.
Okay, well, I personally wage a different kind of battle, a war of wits. For me, this is a chess game. I have a few arguments I think I'd like to present. On one of your episodes that I had downloaded and I listened to, I heard that you had said, and I quote, "The cradle of all civilization is from Africa." Well, I tend to disagree with that, not just because I'm a National Socialist, but because there are historical references that I can go to, and endless counts of them that can, you know, contradict your claims in that regard. You know, you look at the Vatican City, and Italy, in Rome, that was built by European Caucasians. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, the Eiffel Tower, the Leaning Tower, all of our technological and world modern marvels that we've created pale in comparison in Africa to the invention of the mud hut. Yes, these people are victims of disease. However, that tends to happen when you drink the same water you bathe in. In Africa, the AIDS rate is higher than any other nation in this world. Any other nation in this world. So that right there should be an indicator. Cannibalism, alive and well. Slavery, alive and well. If you ask the common African male who is from Africa, and you ask him one simple question, what is the meaning of life? And they will tell you in their country is that it ends. You're either killed, butchered, raped, murdered, genocide, or put to work in blood diamonds. You have 13 10-year-old children running around with AK-47s, hacking off body parts. You have men in Africa raping women, cutting off their breasts. This shows that our stance, as far as, you know, the Negro male is concerned, is we're justified. They cannot advance themselves in any way. They've had 400 years to get their act together, and they can't. Why is that?
Everything you said was designed to support your opening premise or your opening argument regarding the cradle of life. However, nothing you said had anything to do with the cradle of life. We know for a fact that Africa is the cradle of modern humans. It has nothing to do with Vatican City. It has nothing to do with AIDS. It has nothing to do with anything you mentioned. The reason we know it is fact is because of molecular biology. Scientists have determined that all modern humans originated in Africa approximately 200,000 years ago. It's not a dispute. All scientists agree. The people who dispute it do not know what they're talking about and usually have religious reasons for denying the facts. In fact, they've narrowed the cradle even more than Africa. If you've ever heard of the Kalahari Bushmen over on the west coast of southern Africa, that is the population from which all modern humans have come. And here's how they know this. And you might find this interesting, whether you agree with it or not. All humans other than Africans, and that would include you and me, we have a small percentage of Neanderthal DNA. People who are from Africa and have never left and have only bred in Africa have no Neanderthal DNA in their genomes. That's because when modern humans left Africa between 50 and 70,000 years ago, we interbred with Neanderthals before driving them into extinction. That's why all non-Africans have Neanderthal DNA. That's not my opinion, that's a fact. If you go down to the hospital and give them your DNA, they can pinpoint where that Neanderthal DNA is in your genome. When they go into Africa, they find no Neanderthal DNA because Neanderthals were a different species of human being. They did not live in Africa. They lived mostly in Europe and the Middle East. And these are only two species of humans. There have been dozens. Perhaps you've heard of Homo erectus, which was prevalent in the Far East and for far longer than any other human species, a couple of million years. So, that was a nice speech you gave, but I don't see how any of it related to the question of the cradle of civilization. I'll go ahead and let you continue. So perhaps you have another subject of great interest to you that you want to discuss.
Oh, absolutely. There are a few things in your statement that you just mentioned that I do agree with and I know for a fact. So there's no dispute in there. However, there are a few things I'd like to clear up just momentarily before I move on to a different subject. You mentioned Neanderthal in reliance to us having a little bit of that geno in our DNA, and those who haven't left Africa don't have any of it left in theirs because of, you know, mixed breeding. However, I beg to differ. Neanderthal is alive and well today. If you look at, you know, classic pictures on Google or National Geographic of Neanderthal male, their forehead, body language, body tone, muscle mass, and then you compare it to the average black man today, I would argue the opposite, that the Neanderthal hasn't died, that it is alive and well today. The physical and genetic traits are impossible to get rid of. I mean, yes, you can breed with certain people and it recesses them, but it's only a matter of time before that gene reactivates itself. With that being said, a few years back on National Geographic, they did a study where they compared caveman skulls to that of the Neanderthal. And it was a completely different skeletal structure. And they found these skulls of the Neanderthal with their skulls cracked, with a blunt object that was used to crack their skulls open. Common sense being what it is, Well, they seen a hostile people in their nation, and they took steps to prevent it. So with that being said, I'm going to change the subject. My opening statement that I proposed first was just to kind of get a feel for you, see which direction you were, see if you're an intelligent person, if you have facts to contradict what you say. And you do. You seem like a fairly educated individual. I myself am likewise. When I present an argument, I try and back it up with facts. Here's something that a lot of people aren't aware of. I know you're probably thinking, oh, here it comes, the Jewish question. Why do people like myself despise the Jews with a burning hatred? Well, it's simple. If anybody has ever read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion that Henry Ford, an American citizen, had purchased decades back before my time, if it wasn't for Henry Ford, the circulation of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion would have never been released in the United States. In this book, it detailed all the Jewish plans as far as control of the media, controls of the radio, TV, news, entertainment, everything. And in this book, it tended to play out everything that was happening as events unfolded and events to come in the future. This is why we have a massive hatred for the Jew. It's not because we think that they are inferior. By no means do I consider any race inferior. I recognize the right of all people to exist, but within their countries of origin. Africa is African, Mexico is Mexican, Asia is Asia. America should be for Americans only. This is the way things should be. It's been proven.
Okay, my question is, you were talking about Mexicans being in Mexico. You gave a list of people, Americans being in America. You must have done some very tricky rationalization to ignore the fact that you're not American. The American Indians, the Mayans, the Aztecs, they were all Americans until invading hordes of mostly Christians came to the New World, killed millions of them, and took their land, and in America, pushed them onto reservations on lands that no one wanted. Those are Americans. So what is it that you tell, not you personally, what is it that your people tell your followers to justify calling yourselves the original Americans when history says just the opposite?
Well, that's a very interesting point you've brought up, and I've been asked this question countless times, and I answer it the best way I can. I, myself, and along with my associates, have the utmost respect for the Indians based on the hardships, the difficulties that they themselves as a people have had to overcome for countless decades. You talk about hardship when us Europeans immigrated from Britain to the United States. We tricked them. We got them to teach us how to farm, agriculture, how to grow things. And then once we had no more need for them, well, we just, you know, like you said, we killed them off. We massacred them by the millions. And then it wasn't until later on, countless decades later, that we decided, that was a little harsh. We need to give them reservations. In our mind, and this is where I get attacked by a lot of neo-Nazis myself when I make this claim, is that Native Americans are without a doubt the only true Americans in this country. That's why we consider ourselves European Americans. But again, like I said in my previous statement, it is nature's law personified. Survival of the strongest and the weak are doomed to perish.
You're not a sharp, are you?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I hate sharps with a passion, but there is amount of respect that can be shown with all the races. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss out on. You don't have to like these people. You don't have to be friends with them. You don't have to integrate with them. You don't have to mix with them. But there is a level of professionalism that I expect all of my guys. And I encourage anybody who may listen to this in the future to pick up on. There is amount of professionalism that you have to take. If you run around acting like the world's biggest idiot and just wanting to beat up every random Tom, Dick, and Harry you come across, then for every single effort that I try and make, It makes people like myself, who have common sense and our heads on the right way, look like the bad guys. In my eyes, that's wrong. Like I said, you don't have to like them, but you can respect each other and kind of give off, you know, pardon my language here, you know, you don't fuck with me, I don't fuck with you attitude. You stay within your boundaries, I stay within mine. And if we come across each other, hey, how's it going?
Okay, let me go to another call. They've been patiently waiting. Eastern Oklahoma, welcome into the Skeptic Arena.
Greetings and hallucinations, and I don't and never have used drugs. My name happens to be Clifford Harrington. I am co-founding chairman of the NSM heretofore for life as appointed by Robert Brannan in 1982. I was with the NSM up until 6 years ago when some ne'er-do-wells sought to kill me and my wife with a car bomb. And then the NSM started its downhill slide under its present leadership being those fine international loving Christians that you claimed earlier that these websites are. I like your tone. You got a very good tone, and I appreciate you giving time to my peer there, Mr. McBride. But, you know, National Socialists actually are, in fact, voices of Woodrow Wilson and Theodore Roosevelt, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin, who were deists. We believe in national self-determination is the right of all people. And that's what those who are in the conspiracy don't want the National Socialist voice expressing, because it knocks the chalks out from under their worldwide conspiracy of the New World Order, internationalist imperialism, all led by the nose by the internationally Zionist Jews. I've spent 40 years in this. My whole life has been devoted to it and studying it. And the conception given to the American public can be traced back to those who control the media who fought D.W. Griffith during the early 1910s and 20s to get control of Hollywood.
Okay, so let me ask a question. Would you consider yourself a sharp?
My God, no. No, by no means. See, the take that these people take on it is, all right, they're trying to take, and excuse my use of the term, because each man's, one man's God is another man's devil, and one man's devil is another man's God. All right? The sharps believe that they can take nature's creation, and I can butcher this by a paragraph or a sentence or two from the Bible in Genesis. Created man and woman, and all the animals and creatures of the sea and air, and created them after their own kind, okay? But the sharps believe they can take nature's creation, God's creation, whatever, right? And they can solve all the world's problems by mingling of the races. Well, I can't think of anything more cocky, insulting, egotistical than to blend all the races to where it's all a mush, and you have nothing. You have nothing. You have destroyed the original creation. Whereas, as George Lincoln Rockwell said, wouldn't it make more sense to let each race, on its own, evolve to the highest apex of its evolution within the confines of its own racial group, rather than artificially mixing the races, as the Jews have attempted to do in the Western world? In the Western world, why not in South Africa and, in South America, in Africa, in Asia? Why not do it there? And believe me, in Japan, they really are trying.
South Carolina has been very patient. I think it's time to allow them to speak. South Carolina, welcome into the Skeptic Arena.
Hello there. I'm the deputy chairman of the NSFM. Popped my head in for a little bit, but I can't talk for long. I'm doing some stuff with some friends. All right, well, I was just curious. What's your opinion about me and not please?
I hadn't thought of an answer to that one. I usually don't do well with general questions. I like specific questions. So if you can narrow your question down to a more specific thing, I'll try to answer it.
Well, I mean, if you don't have a true opinion about people like us, I mean, I was just curious. I mean, you know, somebody jumped on you on one of your shows and everything, and it kind of raised a thing where, you know, you have to separate people, you know, who are kind of out there for different reasons and people who are out there who are kind of true blue and do what they have to do. You know, real political groups, I mean, you got to watch out for different militant organizations. We're not a militant organization. We're a political party. There's a difference.
Yeah, after getting his call and seeing some of the comments that got put up on TalkShoe, I was expecting a bunch of people like that to come in tonight. So I was naturally all loaded up for bear. But you three men have presented your opinions, which you're certainly entitled to. There are people who agree with you, and there are many who don't. But you've had a forum to express yourselves. And as I said, I was hoping for a war, but that's obviously not going to happen. So it was just interesting to listen to your side, because it's not a side that I hear very often, nor is it a side that I agree with. I told Delaware that I didn't agree with the things he said, but I haven't found very many people in the world who agree with what I say, so the important thing is that we live in a country that allows free speech. And I will always stand behind your right to say what you believe, no matter how strongly I disagree with it. So, let me go back to Delaware. I imagine after listening to Oklahoma and South Carolina, Delaware probably has something to say.
Well, thanks for unmuting me. One of the things I want to get out in the open, first and foremost, is my two colleagues already know my stance and my position in regards to what they've said, so I don't have to go into detail with that any further than what we've discussed. And based on, you know, from what I've heard in your response to, you know, our deputy chairman and Mr. Harrington out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I can honestly sit here and say I think we've taken you by surprise. Because you yourself have said it, this isn't what you were expecting. You were expecting a bunch of lunatics screaming and yelling and cussing and calling you names and, you know, threatening you and this and that.
I wasn't expecting. I was hoping.
But it's like I said, there's a level of professionalism that goes a long way. When we allow people like yourself, as you said, on your platform and your show, and you have control of the mic, to get us worked up, riled up, to where we scream, yell, rant, and rave, and threaten. Well, all this does is it serves no purpose. It gives a negative view on us. It makes people like myself look bad, our organization look bad. Our actions reflect our character, and our character reflects who we are. I'm a firm believer in that, and I have a saying that I use quite frankly. You say what you do and do what you say. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. This is one of the things that I was surprised when you sent out this invitation to your show, because, again, just to see, you know, what kind of reaction you were going to get, I myself posted it on Twitter with your, you know, ID and radio show number, and had quite a few people say that they were going to call in. And one retrospect, I am a little disappointed because, you know, all these people on, quote, the net have the courage to, you know, call people this and call them that. And it's like, what happened? You know, the show started, your balls fall off, you lose your nerve. What, did this guy intimidate you? You know, I've listened to, you know, some of your shows that you've done in the past. I've visited your website. There are, I will say, a few things that I've seen on there that I do agree with and that make common sense. You know, it's like, oh, wow. You know, and then there's some things on there that I've seen, and I'm like, not really. And, you know, to answer one of your questions, yeah, we did figure it, especially myself, that you know, were non-religious, because, as Chairman Harrington has said in the past, religion is a form of spiritual communism. People today wear it as an albatross around their neck. You know, whenever something bad happens in their life, you know, you always hear somebody say, oh, well, you've got to find Jesus. You've got to get right with God. I myself, on the other hand, argue that and say, no, you don't have to get right with God. You don't have to find Jesus. You yourself have the power to change your life. It's up to you. Are you going to continue to sit on the sidelines and piss and moan because you're down on your luck? Or are you going to do something about it and change it?
That was a very good statement you just made. Let's give East Oklahoma another chance. He's been waiting for a while.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate your time and all. I don't know what to say except to respond to questions.
Okay, you want a question. My question will be based on what you said. You haven't said much about blacks, but both of you have expressed extreme dislike for Jewish people. You're lumping all Jews into one group, the same as you tend to lump all blacks into one group. And yet you would have to be blind as a cave rat not to recognize that there are great differences among Jewish people. A lot of them are dirt poor. A lot of them aren't very religious. A lot of them are very different than the stereotype. And the same with blacks. Whatever stereotype you throw on a black, you can find thousands that don't fit that stereotype. And then you can go into the white population, and you can find white people that fit the Jewish stereotype. You can find white people that fit the black stereotype. In other words, when you stereotype people into Jewish, black, or any other group and then attack them, you're ignoring the reality that people are so different. In fact, the best example to make you understand this is your own words. You guys were telling me about all the different types of skinheads and racists and neo-Nazis, national socialists, sharps, all these different groups. The sharps have a name for neo-Nazis. They call them boneheads. And you guys even expressed a strong dislike for your fellow neo-Nazis who are in different groups. So you don't have to take anything I said. All you have to do is look at your own words, the ways that you described your fellow neo-Nazis. And it should become obvious that that applies to blacks, to Jews. Hell, atheists fight all the time over all kinds of differences. And Christians are certainly different because they've got hundreds of different denominations that believe all kinds of different things. Mormons are Christians. They believe Jesus Christ was divine. End of story. Now, do they share common Christian beliefs? Of course not. They have all kinds of bizarre beliefs about inheriting other planets when they die, wearing magic underwear. They are very different from other Christians, but they are Christians by definition. So, using your own words, how can you not see the differences within groups? How can you stereotype people when they are so different? When you look at them with a realistic pair of glasses and see all the different individuals. Eastern Oklahoma.
Actually, it's very simple, okay? I'm not an illiterate person. I served 10 years in the United States Army, and I am within a semester of my college degree from years ago. I realize that there are differences between people. What separates true National Socialists from these boneheads that you're talking about is our susceptibility to the Christian albatross. I treat black people socially, civilly, every day. I treat Jews socially, civilly, every day. However, with the Jews in particular, there is an innate naturalness, a recognition. A true National Socialist can be recognized by his peers without the uniform. I treat Indians and Mexicans civility and social respect. But the problem is the cumulative effect of alien ethnic and racial groups within a homogenous nation that has been cohesive heretofore and then starts to fall apart before our very eyes, as it is in the United States. a la the Roman Empire and other civilizations. Nation-states are created in natural creatures, just like...
Okay, let me interrupt. How did you figure that the United States, why did you describe it as homogenous when we are famous worldwide for being the world's melting pot? The Irish came here, and they were immediately jumped on by everybody. The Italians came here, immediately. They went to the bottom of the heap. Jews came here. Indians were already here. All these different groups. America is one of the least homogeneous countries on earth. If you go to Japan, you'll mostly see Japanese. You're not going to see a whole lot of blacks unless they're with the American army. If you go to the Philippines, when the Americans had a couple of bases there, Clark Air Force Base and Subic Bay, there were Americans there. Now, all you see are Filipinos. I know, because I went there and I couldn't find another white person. Of all the countries on earth, this is the last one that I would describe as homogeneous. So I think your premise is flawed.
Heretofore, before 1928, America was a nation based upon European values, European civilization, and European peoples. As I said earlier, if you have, if you missed it, the Germanic people are the seed kernel race of all European races, ethnic and national groups. The United States is a reflection of that. We all come from the same places, sort of like all the Jews. You said there's differences between Jews. Yeah, there are. But they all read from the same book. What is will always will out. The beast will always come forth. You can treat a black as a white person, raise him in a white family as an adopted kid, and he winds up raping his white sister. The United States was a homogenous nation until now, and that's the key, is to break down the power blocks that exist so that you can overtake them, to fulfill the Jewish commandment as given by Yahweh to the Jews, that the world belongs to them, and that's communism in fact.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.